Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Karen Wickwire, nurse practitioner at UPMC Hammond. Thanks for joining us, Karen. Could you tell us about child abuse services in Erie County?
So there's a lot of really great services in Erie County working to prevent child abuse and working with families and then child victims of abuse. A couple of the agencies that I certainly want to make sure I talk about is the Children's Advocacy Center. That's on West 38th Street. It's the Bradley Folk Children's Advocacy Center. And they provide a lot of great resources for children and families in our community. They provide something called forensic interviews, which is where children go if there's a concern of child abuse, to have a very specialized interview to try to, you know, kind of sort out what may have happened. They provide a collaboration between all of the agencies in the county. They kind of drive that in something called a multidisciplinary team format. That team meets multiple agencies, law enforcement, the district attorney's office, healthcare, meet to kind of address the problem of child abuse in our county. Certainly, most people are familiar with the Office of Children and Youth, or OCY, and they really are the government agency that provides investigation into child abuse incidences, works closely with legal, law enforcement, and, you know, certainly all of the other resources in our county to, you know, provide care to victims of child abuse, investigate, you know, allegations of child abuse, and then determine what services, you know, need to happen moving forward for any of those kids or their families. There's probably dozens of other agencies that I could talk about that, you know, really are helpful. We do have a child abuse prevention task force in our county that is just a little bit different version of a collaborative team. That team meets monthly. It is people from every, you know, possible walk of life in our county, any possible job role. They are educators. For example, we have somebody from a couple different like preschools. We have somebody from Shriners on that committee, lots of different agencies, and they do preventative outreach in our community. So for example, this month is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we have an event scheduled next weekend at the Tom Ridge Center, and then one the first week of May out on the east side at Fairfield Fire Department that are kid-focused events. And so they are kind of the driving force of those events, and then other events throughout the year, participation in parades, you know, like Zubu, just to get awareness out there and try to get the kids involved. Other agencies would certainly be the Crime Victim Center. April is Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month, but it's also Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. And the Crime Victim Center, I think people know them as providing a lot of service for the adults in our county, but they really do a lot of great trauma counseling and other trauma services for child victims of abuse as well. And then, you know, whenever we think about child victims of abuse, we want to think about their families as well, and they provide services to them. Other agencies would be Safe Kids, the Achievement Center. As I said, there's a lot, which is really great.
Karen, are there some statistics that you can share about child abuse in our county and region?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just kind of reviewing some of those today. I don't have any statistics for last year yet. I think I kind of thought maybe by the end of the quarter, but still working on those. But in our state last year, or I'm sorry, in 2017, there were about 47,000 reports of child abuse, which is about 17.6 reports per 1,000 kids. So in the same year, the 1,200 of those came from Erie County. What we do see, you know, in our state is that more rural counties sometimes have more reports and more what we called substantiated reports, meaning reports that have some degree of, you know, to some degree have been found to be valid concerns. Erie County is interesting because we kind of have both of those populations. We certainly have an urban and a rural population, so we kind of fall in the middle of the middle ground of those statistics. When we look at child abuse statistics, we talk about something called general protective services and then child protective services. General protective services are those things where maybe, you know, a kid isn't showing up to school and it's because they're having to help babysit at home, or, you know, a kid has become homeless, things like that, where we're looking at some danger to the child, but not an abusive situation. And in 2017, there was about 163,000 of those reports in our state. I don't have the Erie County statistics on that, but so a lot more of those kind of just general worry, you know, complaints. When we look at our county, we, you know, see that we had about, 1.8 out of 1,000 reports in our county were substantiated, meaning that there was some actual concern, you know, for abuse happening. Another statistic that we kind of look at is how many kids are severely injured due to child abuse, something that we call a near fatality incident, or how many kids actually unfortunately died due to child abuse. In our state in 2017, there was 88 of those near fatality situations. So a significant injury or, you know, neglect or something that could have, you know, caused a child to die. And we have had two of those in Erie County last year. So when we look at the fatalities in 2017 in our state, there was 40. And last year, 2018, in Erie County, we had two fatalities. And those four cases, if we look at those, are, you know, cases that we were, you know, able to say this was a near fatality or fatality event due to child abuse. When you look at the state numbers, both of those numbers have been increasing over the last 5 years, the number of near fatality events, the number of fatality events. When we look at statistics overall for other types of violent crimes that our, you know, forensic team cares for, sexual assault, intimate partner violence, those numbers are increasing as well. So it's a little bit challenging. We hope that they're increasing because there's increased awareness of reporting and concern, not that the incidence is truly increasing, if that makes sense. So meaning that perhaps they're, you know, 5-10 years ago, the numbers of children that were dying from child abuse in our state were about the same, but maybe it just wasn't getting recognized. So that's what we kind of hope about the increase. But I don't think we know for sure, you know, is there really truly increased incidents or is it just increased awareness and increased reporting?
What is your gut feeling on what you believe it is?
I think my gut feeling is that it's a mix of both of those things. I think that there's definitely a mix of both of those things. I think we could have a very similar conversation, especially in our county, about intimate partner violence. So I think, I think it's a mix of both of those things.
Karen, the follow-up clinic that has just opened, can you tell us what services that is providing and how this is helping to fill a void in services in our region?
Yes, absolutely. So our follow-up clinic is over at the UPMC Women's Hospital. Inside the Women's Hospital is a children's specialty center that is really run by Children's Hospital. So that's the nice thing is that as soon as you step foot into that clinic, you are in a children's hospital clinic. So we know that in our county, there's a lot of conversation about insurance and things like that right now. And children are exempt from that, especially when they're going to be at a children's clinic. So that's the first thing that I think is really important for people to know. And so we're able to provide some good services there without that concern for people about, well, which insurance plan do I have? That sort of thing. So I think that's really important for people to know. Several years ago, there was a physician in our county who was providing follow-up service for child victims of sexual assault, physical assault. And after she retired, those services kind of, you know, weren't really in existence. So this clinic is going to serve to provide follow-up care for kids in our county who are victims of child abuse, physical abuse, whether we know that they are victims or we even have a concern of to any degree, to just get them a good medical exam, get them some reassurance, get their family some reassurance. And it really is serving as an extension of the clinic that is at Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh.
Karen, what are your short and long-term goals for the UPMC follow-up clinic?
I think that this is definitely, you know, a work in progress as we kind of see what needs our county has. I really want to just say that, you know, Children's Hospital is providing a lot of oversight for this, and that the Hammett Health Foundation is helping to fund this clinic to kind of get it started and off the ground. So certainly our goal is to be able to become independently functioning from a financial standpoint. You know, we wouldn't have been able to open this clinic if it weren't for the Hammett Health Foundation's generous support, but, you know, eventually we need to, you know, be self-sustaining. So that certainly is one of our goals. And in order to do that, we'd like to be seeing probably about 300 kids a year. Right now, we're focusing mostly on seeing kids from within our county and getting that service, you know, to function the best as we can is our, you know, initial goal. And then as we, you know, kind of sort out some of the small issues that we found, as you do when you're starting any program or any business, we're definitely going to plan to expand that to other counties. We've seen some kids from like Crawford and Venango County, and in the past, you know, they were pretty much historically going to Children's in Pittsburgh. And those people that have been able to come here have said what a relief it has been for them to not have to drive down to Pittsburgh. I was actually a little bit surprised to learn how many people have not ever driven to Pittsburgh. And so that's stressful to them to try to go in a stressful situation to a new big city that's not necessarily easy to navigate. And when they can just come up here where most people from those counties have been numerous times.
Are there measures the follow-up clinic plays in the preventative measures of child abuse? Greater education, awareness amongst the public, et cetera?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of things that our clinic is going to be able to provide. We have an intake coordinator that right now is kind of working to help iron out some of the wrinkles that we have found as we've opened this clinic. But certainly part of her role is going to be working with community agencies to find education needs in our community related to child abuse and provide those. So I think that we will be a great resource for really any agency that feels that they need some education. Our first focuses are going to be on, you know, healthcare offices. We're working with some of the pediatrician offices to get them some re-education about child abuse and law enforcement, things like that. And I think that that will really help increase awareness and hopefully, you know, make people more aware of the resources in our community, which hopefully will decrease some of the incidents of abuse. I think that another preventative measure that people don't necessarily know about is the idea of having a good medical exam and having a good multidisciplinary approach to kids who are victims of abuse, or maybe we think that they're victims of abuse. There was a study in the 90s called the ACEs study, an adverse childhood experience study, and it really looked at kids who are victims of abuse of any sort. Are they more likely to, you know, become imprisoned or to have mental health disorders, to commit suicide, things like that? And they found that yes, you know, those kids are more likely to suffer those ways. And so we know that being able to check kids out, reassure them, reassure their families that things are okay, that their bodies are okay, is really important, you know, to prevent perpetuation of child abuse and those adverse effects.
Karen, I would imagine that one of your great fears is the reporting of incidents and people taking that initiative. Can you talk about the importance of getting involved?
Yeah, I think that one of the most important things for people to know, whether you're a mandated reporter or a permissive reporter, which I'll briefly explain in a moment, is that there's a misconception that when somebody reports a concern of child abuse, that the next day the police or OCY or somebody is showing up to people's house and taking their kids away from the house. You know, I think that's kind of like the standard misconception that people have. And that's really not the goal. We don't want kids to be removed from their homes, their families, if we can prevent that. We want kids to be safe. And the majority of the time, it's just a matter of getting them some resources. So I think that's the most important thing to remember, that if you have a concern and you're reporting it, don't think that the end result is going to be something even more traumatizing for the child and their family. I think that some important things to know is that the difference between a mandated and a permissive reporter. If you're a mandated reporter, most people know that. Examples of that would be somebody who works at a school, somebody who works in healthcare, somebody that does childcare, those sort of things. You are mandated to report any concerns of child abuse, and you actually can be held accountable if you don't. A permissive reporter would probably be somebody like you who doesn't necessarily work in any of those settings, and they may just have a concern. It's important to know that you can report anonymously. So if you have a concern, say, about your neighbor and their children, that maybe they don't have enough food in their house or something, and you call Childline, which is how you should report, somebody is not going to go to, you know, these people's house the next day and say, Mr. So-and-so called us and said this. You know, that information would rarely be disclosed to, you know, to that family. So I think that that's helpful for people to know as well. And the final thing is just that you don't need to be an investigator. If you have a concern, you should report it. We're reporting suspicion. So if you have something that just doesn't seem right to you and you're concerned and you feel that you need to report it, go ahead and report it. And you know, you don't have to do this lengthy investigation of, you know, whatever your neighbor or your kid's friends, family is doing. I think that's really important for people to know.
Would you agree that the awareness created by the Me Too movement has helped the awareness of your situation?
I would agree with that. I think that, you know, awareness, as we've kind of already said, is what hopefully is driving some of the increase in reports and increase in identification of these incidents happening. I know that probably if you talked to somebody from OCY, they would say, oh my gosh, yes, we're so busy compared to this time last year. You know, everybody would say that they're much busier. The detectives that investigate these crimes, I know, are much busier than they were probably a year ago, certainly 2 years ago. As I have been doing this over the years, you know, it's been busier. And I think that the awareness piece is a huge part of it, just as you've alluded to.
Karen, there really was an enormous need for a follow-up clinic, wasn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a national recommendation to be able to provide these services. And, you know, I think that we're going to see this make a huge impact in our community.
That really is amazing that Hammett saw a need and acted on it. And the Health Foundation really played an enormous role.
Yeah, I think that what has been the driving force of this is that one of our physicians in the ER was working with the child abuse physicians at Children's, and then got some other people involved, myself and some other members of our forensic team, on what we call a child abuse screening initiative. And in Children's, you know, working with us to drive that initiative is how we really identified the need for that in our community. So I think that it's been a great collaboration between, as you said, the Hammett Health Foundation providing that financial piece and continued support in many ways, Children's really having, you know, the driving oversight. You know, the physicians there are who I collaborate with on a daily basis, and who, you know, and their Children's Advocacy Center coordinator really is, you know, helping coordinate how we get this clinic set up. And then, you know, Hammett being willing to, you know, kind of work all of that into, you know, things that are struck, you know, pieces that are already functioning from, you know, a media standpoint, a clinical standpoint, a resource standpoint, looking to see, you know, providing, you know, other support from staff and financially to make sure that our community is aware of all of this.
Karen, is there anything else you would like our listeners to know about the follow-up clinic and the treatment you offer?
You know, going back to the reporting piece, I would say it's important to report any concerns that you have. if the concerns are about your own child or a child that you're caring for, I would say that you need to get law enforcement, the Crime Victim Center, or the Office of Children and Youth involved. Because if you have a concern, one of those agencies need to be involved in that process. And they will work with you to coordinate, you know, any services that we would decide you need from our clinic. So that's kind of the referral process. And that way, information can be shared. You know, we have all the resources kind of already developed. Certainly, you know, you can talk with your pediatrician or family doctor as well if you have any concerns that you think, you know, maybe may need addressed from a medical perspective. People should make sure that they know how to report child abuse. They can report online through Childline. I will give that number. It's 1-800-932-0313. There is a way that you can report online as just a permissive reporter, as a citizen, and it's just through the Department of Health and Services state website. Anybody who's a mandated reporter would have already gone online to set up their child abuse clearances, and they can report the same place that they go to get their child abuse clearances for their jobs. They can report on that through that same website.
Karen, any last words on child abuse prevention?
I think that, you know, it's really important to get involved in the activities in our community. Erie, I think, is really lucky because we do have a huge range of socioeconomic makeup, and we have that urban and rural mix, and we have a lot of small organizations that are working together to really hold great events. So I think that it's important to seek out the events in our community that are offered for this month, for Child Abuse, you know, Prevention Month, and think about how you can kind of continue to be an advocate for that, you know, in whatever your role is at your workplace or outside of your workplace. There's so many ways to get involved, whether it's from financial sponsorship of agencies such as the Children's Advocacy Center or Crime Victim Center, or it's volunteering some time with any of those agencies, or supporting the other events that we have, you know, throughout this month for both child abuse prevention and sexual assault awareness. So I think that that's really, you know, the best piece that I can leave people with is try to see how you can get involved in those measures in our county, because there really are a lot of ways that you can make an impact, even though it may seem small, can make a big impact on bettering, you know, lives for all the kids in our community.
Karen, thanks again for joining us. Finally, is there any other information that you would like to add?
So I gave that Childline phone number, which is probably the easiest one to report. For most, you know, people, it would be the www.dhs.pa.gov/citizens and then /report abuse. But if you just Google reporting child abuse in Pennsylvania, you will find the options. As far as the Crime Victim Center goes, I can give you their phone number, 814-455-9414. And they have somebody that answers their phone 24/7. So even if it's after hours, if you have a concern, you need some help, you can call there as well. But if you have a concern of child abuse, my suggestion is to call Childline or your local law enforcement agency, whichever police, you know, department would come to your house or the location that you're concerned this is happening at, and talk with them. Those would definitely be the two people that you need to talk to first. The Childline is a state number, but that will transfer the information to whoever is the appropriate person at OCY, or, you know, if you somehow are in another county, they can transfer that over as well. And then any of those agencies will then would refer it to our clinic.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at noon. Join us again next week as the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership is in the Business Spotlight.